So what does wellness mean to you?
Welcome to another edition of Wellness Wednesday's podcast. I'm your host, Eric Hillard. This week, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Usually, you're probably used to getting a cool interview every week talking about the entire spectrum of wellness, from mental health to fitness to books to all that kind of jazz. And you're probably tired of that by now. We've done close to 20 episodes now. This is what I'm going to call the Wellness Wednesdays podcast monologue. It's going to be something where I am just talking about a subject that's close to my heart and something that I think that I'm lucky I get access to, or, you know, I take time to look at a lot of books, listen to a lot of audiobooks, listen to a lot of podcasts. So I'm exposed to a lot, especially in the wellness sphere. This week, what I really want to talk to you is something that's really helped me a lot over the last, I would say, 2 to 3 years, especially even the last 6 months. It's something that I would probably almost laugh at if you were to talk to me about this a few years ago, and that's relaxation. It's something that I don't think we as a society do enough of, and it's one of those things that I think it's a concept that's becoming more and more prevalent in terms of recharging the batteries, relaxing, and making sure you're in top shape for the following project or challenge. And for me, I see it happen all the time to family and friends. And it's something I always tell people: you have to take care of yourself, because it's very hard to pour from an empty cup. And the relaxation is something that I end up doing, and that really helps me stay busy and stay efficient and stay effective. So, and it's something that in my earlier, in my 20s, when I was doing, I was fairly busy with work and then doing a lot of triathlon training, you know, doing a few Ironman here and there. And relaxation was really, the only time I would think about relaxation was maybe on an off day, if I had an extra hour. Whereas now I've made a really big considered effort to not only think about relaxation once in a while, but really put it in my day-to-day and plan that. And sometimes I even prioritize that over some work. And it only happens through experience. But the more I see it, the more I realize that in order to be top, performer, you have to really relax and recharge and chill like a top performer as well. So I'll give you a couple of ways that I've found for me to relax. And trust me, it wasn't easy. It's one of those things that I have to work at. It's not something that comes easily to me, but it's something that I've really helped, that really has helped my quality of life tremendously. The first thing I'm going to talk about is meditation. And again, this is one of those things that I probably would laugh at if you would ask me a few years ago. But I find meditation has really made a big difference in my day-to-day. And trust me, I'm still very much a novice when it comes to this. I've listened to a couple podcasts on it. I've read a couple books. And I've actually been using the app called Headspace a little bit over the last 6 months, on and off. I've also done a few different kind of meditation. One of them is called a six-phase meditation. I've done a bunch of guided meditations, which I find for me as a novice has really helped. If you tell me to sit in a corner and not do anything for 10 minutes, my monkey brain kind of goes crazy. Whereas if you actually lead me through a 10 minute or 15 minute meditation, or even 20 minute meditation, and you kind of take me by the hand and lead me through that, I find that's going to make a big difference. So the, meditation has really helped me in my day-to-day. And for another way to do it too is to listen to a great audiobook. I listened to 10% Happier by Dan Harris, and it's kind of like a layman's look into meditation. So something I would highly recommend. It's very accessible for the average person, and it's a very well done in my esteem. Moving on to another relaxation tip that I would suggest is yoga. Again, it's the same kind of space as meditation, but something a little bit different. And it's, again, really helped me and has really made that mind-body connection. And for me, it all got started with Qi running, you know, almost 10 years ago. But yoga's kind of been a constant in my life, and it really helps, especially if you're busy, not only with your brain, but with your body. You need a little bit of downtime to recharge and stretch some of the parts. A lot of people look at yoga as a, you know, glorified stretching, and that's fine. But for me, it does some of that stretching, but it also builds that mind-body connection, which is so, so important. So yoga is something that I especially like, the restorative kind, the yin yoga. And it's really made a big difference in my day-to-day. I try to do most of my yoga in a routine. When I was living in the downtown core and I could walk to places, I would probably do some longer sessions, you know, an hour and a half, maybe once a week, twice a week, if I got really lucky. Whereas now I'm seeing the small chunks are really what can fit in my schedule a little bit easier. So I'll do yoga probably every second morning, and having those mornings, kind of taking a little bit of time for myself to recharge in the morning, has made a big difference. And usually I find myself more focused those days and find myself more productive. And I think that's one of the biggest threads that I've seen in the last year or two, is looking at relaxation as an investment. Because I know when you're A-type, a lot of times you're like, I don't have time to relax, I'm so busy. But what I've seen is the more you can prioritize and spend some time on relaxation, the more productive you are. So it's actually, it is an investment, and it paid off dividends right now, and I'm sure it'll pay off some dividends down the road. So I find meditation yoga really helps with that. Something that's been a constant in my life for the last, I don't know, I guess 30 odd years has been exercise. For me, that's one of the ways I relax. After having a busy day, going to play a hockey game or going to the gym or going for a run, it really puts everything in perspective. It gets you sweating, gets your heart rate up, and you forget about the day-to-day, you know, stupid things that happen, and you kind of get a little bit of perspective and kind of move on for a lot of those things, I find. So I would highly recommend exercise. This is probably not news to you for some of the folks that have been listening to the podcast or have been reading the blog for quite some time. Exercise is key. What I've been doing more now, and exercise is great, but I've kind of took it to the limits at some point. And I tried exercise now, but I also tried to really be mindful of my exercise. You can't go to the well too many times. You can exercise every day, but I personally don't think that's the best way to do it anymore. So it's just a matter of taking, and exercise can take on a lot of forms. I've been doing, it's winter here in Canada, so I've been doing a lot of snowshoeing. It's something I love because it's kind of, it puts me out in nature, get a little bit of sunlight, get some fresh air, and get the blood flowing. And it's usually fairly gentle on the joints. So it's a great way to kind of get out there, get some exercise, but also not kill yourself. And keeps me fresh and keeps my joints nice and lubed up. Another thing that I've done in the last year or so is flotation tanks. So floating, also known as sensory deprivation therapy. You basically, I know it's going to be sound scary to some of you, you sit in a little tank or almost like, it looks like a bunker, and you sit by yourself in salt water, and you basically float for half hour, an hour and a half. And at first you're a little claustrophobic, and then you realize that no one's out here to attack you. It's just a nice way to relax and recharge the battery. And it is, your brain kind of goes crazy at first, especially when you're not used to it. But the benefits I've been getting from it, especially the last few floats, have been incredible. Lots of incredible business ideas. I figured out a bunch of things. It's almost like a really long run where you've kind of figured out all of life's issues, life's problems. So it's, and it feels so good on the body. Being, you know, soaked in Epsom salts for an hour. It kind of feels weird getting when you're getting out, because you feel all kind of yucky, and then you take a shower, and next thing you know, you feel like a million dollars. So it's something I would highly recommend for people. They're becoming more and more popular, and for good reason. There's some research that shows that You go into theta waves when you're floating, and it's pretty cool stuff. And usually I find when I, there's a, and again, I don't have a scientific study for this, but when I float, I sleep much better that night, and you feel, really feel rejuvenated. Another thing I try to do a lot is read. And again, to relax, I find it relaxes the body, obviously, because it's hard to read while you're doing very intense exercise. But it also relaxes the brain a little bit. And I've been trying to read a little bit more of some fiction, but I lean towards more nonfiction. And so I have to, you know, be aware of that split. But I find reading is one of my favorite pastimes these days. And especially now, I'll light a candle or put on a fireplace on my TV. And I don't know, just it creates a nice little bubble and really puts me in a very relaxed state of mind. And although some of the books I read, they're so action-oriented and it makes me do a list of 90 things to do, that might not be as relaxing, but I try to switch it up nowadays and actually read some fiction and relax my mind as well as my body when I'm reading. Another concept I think we forget a lot about when you get out in the real world is play. As kids, we play all the time. And that's one fun thing about being around my niece and nephew and godsons and friends' kids is they just want to play. And it's something that we should do as much as we can. We kind of lose that notion. It's kind of silly for us as adults to play, but I think it's something that we should really look into doing some more. And it's so beneficial for the brain. It's so beneficial for the body. And it's something that I find really takes you out of your comfort zone a lot of time, for good reason. And it's not scary. I think it'd only be scary to the ego. It's like, well, what if someone sees me playing on all fours? It's like, well, that's okay. It's part of the fun, and it'll be good for your knees, and it'll be getting the, you know, you'll be doing some range of motion probably that you haven't done in a while. So it's something that I end up, especially in the snow, going snowshoeing and then tumbling around or playing with my mom's dog, any of that stuff. I find the play factor has kind of been out of our lives for the most part, and I'm really trying to bring it back, and that's why I always love team sports, because there is a bit of an element of that play element and getting some exercise at the same time. And it doesn't have to be structured. Sometimes you just want to, I try to be silly sometimes and have, you know, dance parties in my kitchen or, you know, anything that's that gets you moving, that gets you thinking, gets you outside of your head, I think is a good thing. Speaking of that, comedy shows. Been loving comedy shows these days. I've seen a couple of live shows, and I've been looking a lot of them online, comedy specials. And again, it just gets you to look at the world a little differently. Gets you to laugh. It's been said that laughter is the best medicine. I truly think that. It gets you to forget about your problems and gets you out of your head, which I think is very, very useful on a day-to-day basis. Our lives are so busy these days. So whenever we can kind of take a step back and not worry about our problems, but, you know, laugh and poke fun at other folks, I think it really makes a dent in your relaxation and also a dent in your quality of life. Going back to some of the points I made earlier, I find relaxation has a lot to do with quality of life. That's one of the biggest things for me, but it also, ironically, it's made me more productive and more efficient. So it is kind of almost taking a step back to take two steps forward. And for most people that are busy, you know, you're like, just relax. And then there's no way, you know, I don't think anyone's ever relaxed by being told to relax. But I think if you take a little bit of time in your daily routine to insert a little bit of calm time, whether it's 15 minutes in the morning just to read a few websites that you like to read, you know, spending an extra 15 minutes in the washroom in the morning, whatever floats your boat, really try to take some time for yourself. Our schedules are so busy, but really trying to chunk out a little bit of time for you and for some relaxation purposes, I think will make you a better person. Probably will make you a little happier too, because you won't feel so rushed. And I think it's one of those things, again, goes back to what I was saying earlier, it's very hard to pour from an empty cup. It's also hard to be in a bad mood when you just finish something, doing something you love. So whatever that thing is you love, having an extra cup of coffee in the morning, just staring out the window, or just sitting quietly in the living room, or reading, or, you know, doing some push-ups, or anything that you think will get you off to a better start. It is a bit of an investment of some time, but I found in my experience that little investment in the relaxation space. This Wellness Wednesdays podcast monologue, let me know. Is this something you want me to wax poetic on some more different subjects? And I'm looking forward to another incredible guest next week. Until then, be well.